Hey there, it's Rich. Like most people today, I've encountered my fair share of scams. There's the old, hey, your bank account has been compromised. Just click this link and we'll help you. Even though I don't bank with said bank. Then there's the one where your boss sends you an email asking you to go to the store and purchase $1,000 in gift cards. And the one we've probably all received, the text informing you that UPS is having trouble delivering your package. Simply click this link and confirm your personal information. So simple. But if there's one scam above all that has really, really struck a nerve with me, it's the scam of pig butchery. No, it's not a pretty term, but I do believe it's befitting. Named after the practice of farmers fattening hogs before slaughter, victims are quickly lured into crypto investments. However, the investment opportunities, well, they're fake. And once the scammer believes he can't squeeze any more money out of the victim, poof, the scammer disappears. Hence, the pig has been slaughtered. From time to time, I've talked about my personal experience on dating apps and the pervasiveness of scammers. The most common type of scammer I have faced on dating apps is the pig butcher. And I guess what really riles me up about this form of scam is how it preys on people when they're most vulnerable. And that is when they're looking for love. While it typically begins with what appears to be a budding romance, pig butchering scams can start off in other ways as well. And it's not unique to dating apps. Many of these crimes take place on other social media platforms like Instagram, WhatsApp, and yes, even LinkedIn. In fact, I just received messages from two pig butchers the other day on LinkedIn. The first one said, "Hello, Rich. Nice to meet you on LinkedIn. My boss, Miss Anna, has seen your profile and would like to talk to you. Please let us know your contact information, for example, WhatsApp, and the best time to reach you. Can my boss contact you personally? Sincerely, Andy." What a sweet man. The second message was from a man named Taylor. I won't bother reading you that message because it was exactly the same as Andy's. Word for word. What was funny was just a few minutes after Taylor sent me his first message, he realized his mistake and followed it up with the following. "Hello again. Sorry. It appears my account was hacked. I've since regained control of it. I do not work for anyone named Anna and only take meetings offline when necessary." In the moment, I must admit, it made me laugh. But someone who isn't laughing is my guest in this episode. Troy is an expert on the topic of pig butchering and an investigator for a US-based nonprofit organization called the Global Anti-Scam Organization. There, Troy fights on the side of good to end pig butchering scams, an industry that, according to Time Magazine, has defrauded people out of more than $75 billion worldwide over the last 4 years. That's $75 billion with a B. To learn more and to support this good cause, please visit globalantiscam.org. Be careful out there. You're listening to Privacy Files. This episode is brought to you by Anonymy Labs, makers of MySudo, the world's only all-in-one privacy app. And Sudo Platform, the cloud-based platform companies turn to for seamlessly integrating identity protection solutions into their software. And have you heard about the MySudo web browser extension? Breaking your online data trail just got way easier. To learn more, visit mysudo.com. That's mysudo.com. Troy, welcome to Privacy Files.
It's great to be here, Rich. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you got an interesting story. So this topic of pig butchering, I can't wait to get into it because I got my own stories to tell. But why don't we start off first with just talking about your background and how you got to this point?
Sure. So I wanted to be in show business. That was my dream as a kid. And it 2007, I moved out to New York City, lived the life of an actor. And then 13 years later, 2020, we all know what happened. COVID shutdown hit. So all the work that was there was all shut down. And I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to move back to my home state. So did that. And basically now starting my life over as a broke actor. In 2021, I decided to get on Facebook dating. And I thought, I don't like online dating. It's never been my thing. I've always hated it. But it's free and it's something that you can just do and whatever. So I sign up. And in late August, I get a message from somebody supposedly in Seattle. And this person was supposedly interested in me. We started chatting just about our lives. She sent me a picture. I was a very attractive woman, got an Asian look to her. And I sent her a picture. Now, one of the things that always concerns me is when I'm sending a picture that they're going to look at it and go, I don't like this guy. Forget it. Right. But she looked at it and she said, wow, I'm very impressed. I'm like, oh, okay. This attractive woman likes me. So this is how it all began. And we just start talking about what we do and where we live. She started asking me about family things. Do I own a home? Do I live alone? Do I live with anybody? And I just think of these as just a normal online conversation that you would have with somebody. Well, then we start talking about things like, it was day-to-day chatting. And when she'd ask me questions like, did you eat breakfast today? This was a picture of my breakfast. And she started sending me these pictures of nice meals. I would tell her, no, you know, I didn't eat. It's kind of early. I got to get up, got to get to work. Well, no, you need to eat. You know, you need to eat. Then she would try to message me at lunch. And if I could respond, she would say, are you eating right now? So it just seemed like this nice relationship that was being built here. And I'm single, looking for somebody. And so it seemed great to me. And she also told me that she owned 5 clothing stores in Ukraine. So I'm like, oh, this woman's got a little bit of money. That's kind of nice. Well, about 2 weeks into this conversation, it's been going on all day long for 2 weeks. She then mentions about cryptocurrency for the first time. She mentioned that she has those 5 stores, but she doesn't run them. She's living here in the US and she does something called liquidity mining. I said, oh, that's interesting. What's that? Well, I earn minimum 1% for all of the USDT, all the Tether in my wallet. Well, I had no interest in cryptocurrency. I actually, back in 2009, had been to a few Bitcoin meetings because I knew some folks who were very much into it at that time. Wish I would have invested back then, huh? But I had no interest in it. It was too volatile for me and no interest. Well, she would show me pictures of her supposed account on this website, and she was making a ton of money. So early on, she didn't really push it to me. But as we continued to talk and build this, what became a romantic relationship, then she started to push it a little bit. Now, I need to back up and say, I want to do a video chat with her, but she wouldn't do one. And the reason she gave me was that she did a video chat with a friend of hers, and that friend of hers was in a car while this was going on, and she got into an accident and died. And so this person, who ended up being my scammer, was actually scared of cameras. Okay, that does sound a bit weird. I know, I get it, but I fell for it. And I realize now, through the documents that I have, that's what they're trained to say. Okay. Well, she begins to be a little bit more pushy with the cryptocurrency and talking about how we could have a great life. We could make a lot of money doing this. We could travel the world. We could maybe give money away to help the poor, all these different types of things. And eventually just kind of wore me down. Again, I was emotionally attracted to this woman, physically attracted to what I thought was this woman. Eventually I said, okay, by now. So she contacted me at the end of August. Now we're into October. So towards the end of October, she then shows me it's all about Coinbase wallet. You need to be able to download Coinbase wallet. Have you done that? Yep. No, never heard of Coinbase wallet. Well, you know, Coinbase is a very safe company. It's a public company in America. It makes billions of dollars. It's very, very safe. Very safe. Okay. Very, very safe. Yes. Very safe. Okay. Great. Fantastic. And Coinbase wallet is very safe. Yes. It's very safe. Okay. Great. So eventually then she talks me into downloading Coinbase and Coinbase wallet. She shows me how to set up the Coinbase wallet. And I do that. She shows me how to buy USDT. I originally buy some with a credit card and it takes about 5 days to be able to transfer to my wallet. She doesn't want me to do that. She wants me to use a bank wire. So eventually I did that. So I bought about $5,000 in USDT right away, had a little bit of stock, sold that off and bought USDT, transferred it to this wallet. She shows me a website that I was able to connect my wallet to. And long story short, I'm starting to make money. I'm starting to make 1% per day. Every 6 hours, there was Ethereum placed into my account, the mining Ethereum, but then I swapped that for USDT and then I'm able to transfer that to my wallet. And this was happening for the first about 4 or 5 days. But one morning I wake up and my wallet is empty. There's no money in it. There's a notice on the website that I have a contract. The website has a customer service chat feature. So I chat with the customer service. Hey, what is this all about? Oh, well, you owe us $10,000. Well, you need to give us $10,000. So you have $5,000, you need $5,000 more. If you do that, then you're going to get all your money back plus bonuses. Okay. Then I go to my scammer girlfriend, if you will, and I say, hey, I was just told that I've got a contract. You do? Oh, that's so great. No, you're one of the lucky ones. You're going to make a ton of money, honey. We're going to be doing great here. Oh, you are so lucky. Yeah, I got that too. And I did amazing with it. Well, I need another $5,000, supposedly, to make $10,000 to get all my money back. Now, this time has not dawned on me that it's a scam. And I don't have another $5,000. So I go get a loan for $5,000, put that money in my wallet. And then eventually that money was taken out. I don't know. It's a scam yet. I go back to customer service. Hey, is my contract fulfilled? I was $10,000. Oh, no. You need another $5,000. Another $5,000? Yes, another $5,000. I go to my scammer. Hey, they sent me another $5,000. Oh, it's all okay, honey. Your money's in the mining pool. It's very safe. It's all okay. We're going to make lots of money out of this, sweetheart. I go get another loan for $5,000. I put that in my wallet and that is taken out. So now we're up to about $15,000, give or take. Well, at that point, I was told that the contract is fulfilled. Now there's no money in my wallet, but my contract is fulfilled. But now Coinbase says that I have to have $10,000 in my wallet to then be able to get all that money plus bonuses out. Now, my bonus was supposed to be 200,000 USDT. One USDT is $1 stable coin, that sort of thing. So about 200,000. I said, wow, well, I don't have $10,000, but I got 2,000. So I put 2,000 in. I get a loan for another eight. So it's $18,000 in loans. I put that money in my wallet. And by the way, I had to do this like within a week, right? You've only got a certain amount of time to get this done. I then text the customer service. Hey, the money that I need is in there. Okay, hold on just a moment. Customer service says, I look in my wallet, it's empty. I said, where's my money? Oh, it's safe in the mining pool. But, and then I got this notice, you are supposed to get 200,000 USDT. You need to pay the taxes on that of $35,000. That was the first week of November. It was at that time that I realized this was some sort of scam. What it was when I started the scam, my scammer had to get a voucher. The voucher was actually gas fee paid in ETH and Ethereum on the Ethereum network. And my scammer gave me the money for the voucher. She transferred ETH to my wallet. What they didn't tell me was that that was actually a secret token approval, which gave them access to all the USDT in my wallet.
Wow.
After that happened, I started searching online for what in the world this was. And I found a Reddit page that talked about liquidity mining scam. I connected with some people there. They messaged me personally. We talked on the phone and they started a Facebook group, which I joined. We now have a Facebook group of about 300 of us. In that Facebook group was a man who was with the Global Anti-Scam Organization. We started to chat. He was a victim of a different scam and I started to learn about his scam and he started to learn about mine. Long story short, he brought me on to the Global Anti-Scam Organization in 2022. I have been working with them ever since. The main thing that I do is I follow the scammers and a lot of their Telegram groups, and I report what I'm seeing to LinkedIn, where I follow law enforcement, fraud investigators, private investigators, bankers, folks from all over the world. I want to get the word out of what's going on.
Let's take a quick break for this message from our sponsor.
Ugh, not again. I can't find it anywhere.
What's got you so frustrated?
Hi, Bob. Just trying to find an important email, but my inbox is a disaster. It's all ads and spam. It's exhausting.
Sounds like you need somewhat of an inbox intervention. Have you heard of MySudo?
MySudo? No, what's that?
It's an awesome app where you can create a pseudo. It's kind of like a digital alias. Each of these pseudos comes with its own email to help you organize your digital life. It's the perfect tool to keep your personal and work emails spam-free.
So what you're saying is I can use one of these pseudo emails and never have to worry about spamming up my personal or work email?
Yep. Plus, it's super secure. You should download it.
Downloading as we speak. You are a lifesaver.
Don't let spam emails take over your life. Reclaim your inbox with MySudo. Download MySudo today and start your journey to a clutter-free digital world. Visit MySudo.com and remember, stay private.
So as we said when we started off, this is called pig butchering. Does it always start with a romance angle?
Not always. They've got a script for everything. If you tell the scammer that you're happily married with kids, oh, that's fine. They're totally content to be just your friend or business partner or to talk finance with you. They have a chat GPT, in fact, more than one, where they will ask it questions. If they don't know an answer to whatever a victim tells them, if they don't know an answer, they can ask the chat GPT. If they want to tell a story to the victim, they can ask the chat GPT. I also happen to know that when they're on their computer, they've got the chat with the victim on one side, and on the other side, they've got their story, their character story, and they have it all laid out, and they can just copy and paste to every victim.
Unreal. I've seen some documentaries on this, and it's frightening how elaborate it is. I mean, there's literally call centers set up where this is their full-time job. They go into an office, and this is what they do. So when it comes to like what to look out for, maybe we could get into some of that, because I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably my main social platform at this point, and they're all over the place. I pretty much get an inquiry almost every day, and you know what it is. I can tell it's so easy to read. It's somebody that doesn't have very many followers or connections on LinkedIn, and I will just kind of go through with it just to kind of play along for a while, but it always starts off with the same, hey, how you doing, Rich? What's going on? You've got a great profile, right? It's like, okay, I know where this is going, but it sounds like they are, all they have to do is be effective like a fraction of a percent of a time, and they're making a living.
They will send out hundreds or thousands of messages a day on whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, all the dating sites, whatever website you're on. One of the most popular things that they do is the wrong number text to your phone. If you get a text to your phone that's a wrong number, looks like it's clearly not made for you, that is their way of just trying to get their foot in the door. The idea is that they want you to respond, oh, sorry, wrong number. So they can go, oh, I'm so sorry. I hope I didn't disturb you. My assistant gave me this phone number. My name is Anna. What's your name? Here's my picture. Now, some of the scammers aren't real good at it. Somebody's going to be tipped off immediately. But some of them are. Some of them have been doing it for a while, and they know what works. What is the most effective way to get into a victim's head and or heart, if you will.
Right. So, I mean, it starts out where it sounds like it's a catfish, right? It's just somebody messing around, pretending to be somebody else. But what makes it the pig butcher is that, I guess the metaphor is they're fattening you up, right? They're continuing to take the money out of you until they figure at some point the jig is up, you figured it out, and then they cut and run, but they've made their money.
Yes, that is correct. Pig butchering is not my term. It's not the law enforcement term. It's their term. In Chinese, it's xiajun pan. The scammers are actually called dogs. In their Telegram chats, they post lots of GIFs and pictures of dogs. The image is that when they're talking to a victim, they're fattening them up with this romance relationship or whatever, this belief that they can make a lot of money in cryptocurrency, and then they will cut or kill, again, their terms, the customer or client, again, their terms, but basically the victim. So they will cut or kill their client by then extracting money from them, getting them to invest in their fake cryptocurrency website or do the cryptocurrency liquidity mining that I just explained. Now, I need to back up here. There's something that's very important. Early on, when a victim is talking to a scammer and the scammer is asking questions like, what do you do? Where do you live? Do you live on your own? Do you own a home? Do you own two homes? You must have, with what you do, you must have a great retirement. I need to add that the reason why they're asking that question is not because they want to get to know you. They are looking for what they can steal. That's their target. And I know this because when I follow their chats, sometimes they're chatting about a guy's retirement, his pension, their 401k. Some will say, what's a 401k? And they'll post a document of what a 401k is. So I know these people are specifically targeting what the victim is telling them.
Wow. So you said a lot of them are on Telegram.
Yes, there are numerous Telegram groups out there that these scammers are on. There is stuff on there that most people don't want to see, but there's also valuable intel. I get intel about how banks are trying to block transactions or cryptocurrency exchanges are blocking transactions or the social media sites, particularly LinkedIn, is working on this. And they are trying to block these scammers from getting in. So I see this. Sometimes I see where they're chatting with victims. It's not very often. They don't very often post that, but sometimes they do. And I can maybe even contact that victim and say, hey, you're being scammed. There was unfortunately one, this was several months ago, somebody in Alaska had wired $130,000 to Hong Kong. And the scammer posted it, took a picture of the wire form, the document of the wire, posted it to the chat group so I could see it. I could see the victim's name and contact information. I tried to contact the victim and I got no response.
Wow. So is the end game obviously is to steal money from you, but is it usually, it sounds like it involves mostly cryptocurrency, but you're even saying that it's so elaborate that they even make, they create phony websites.
Absolutely. And yes, they take bank wires. In fact, when we're scam baiting and they want us to invest in their websites, we will go to the website and chat with the customer service and tell them that we want to wire, say, $30,000 to our account. And they will give us sometimes a bank account. And sometimes that bank account is right here in the US.
Unbelievable. Wow. How do people spot that this could be a scam? I mean, what are some things that they have to look out for? Because like you're talking about the romance angle, but I see it taking place on LinkedIn. I'm seeing it take place, of course, on dating apps, but even on my phone when I'll get a message, like you said, out of the blue, and it will literally say, oh, you're in my contacts, but I'm not really sure. I don't remember your name. And I just, how are you doing? Right? It's like, you know, there's something going on here.
If you get a message like that, don't respond. If you respond, this is kind of what you're opening yourself up to. Now, perhaps you know now, and you can respond and know that you can just play around with them. Best thing is really don't respond. Now, it's a little bit different if you're on, say, a dating app or a Facebook. We kind of want people to reach out to us and see, this is the thing. They know this psychology. They're trained in it. They are trained to know that the best way that you can get money from somebody is to hit them where they're most vulnerable. And for most human beings, that is either wanting love, being lonely, or wanting more money. Whether that is, I just need more money to exist or money for retirement or whatever. They know this. So they're trained to act on these two big desires of humanity. So when you're contacted on those dating apps, you need to be very, very suspicious. Even if they do video chats with you, because now sometimes these scammers pay models, pay women to make video chats with guys. If you see them start to talk about cryptocurrency, or they want to go off platform. Hey, let's get off here. Let's go to WhatsApp or let's go to Telegram and chat. Cut it off immediately. That's the scam. And you should be able to report it to the platform and they would hopefully take action against it.
Yeah, it's a shame that it's so prevalent on the dating apps. And I don't know what you do about it either, because they just go back and they create another account. And they probably have multiple accounts at the same time across a bunch of these different apps. But because, like you said, it's preying on someone's weakness, right? They're searching for love and people are vulnerable. And so they want to believe.
There are ways out there I am seeing that some of these dating apps are trying to find ways to block it, right? But it's the digital world, and there is always some kind of workaround. And if the scammer does not know themselves how to do a workaround, then they go to their Telegram groups and say, hey, can't open my account. What do I do? And there's a good chance that somebody knows. There's a whole industry, by the way, that is supporting this. And so there are people that will sell LinkedIn accounts. They will sell Facebook accounts. They will sell dating app accounts. In fact, I've got pictures, scammers have taken pictures of their multiple cell phones that are sitting in front of them as they're having conversations with multiple people. So yeah, there is always some kind of workaround. I do know that these companies, they are trying, but a lot of it is going to fall on the potential victim knowing what's going on.
Is there any hope to get money back when you lose it in this way? What about your story? Were you able to recover any of that money?
No, I wasn't. And the reason why was, well, multiple reasons. In 2021, when I was scammed, this scam was new to the West. Most police departments around the world, let alone here in the US, most police departments don't know anything about it. They don't know anything about the scam. They don't know anything about crypto, and they don't want to know. And they just want to tell you that it's a federal thing and that's it. Not true. And I know that there are some local police departments here around this country that will do crypto investigations. But to answer your question, a very, very small percentage of money was recovered. Very, very small percentage. My money was not recovered by then. It was long gone. My Secret Service agent who investigated my case the following summer told me that you got to basically contact us within 72 hours, 3 days from the time you're scammed. Now I'm having law enforcement tell me that even within 72 hours, you may be out of luck. The money is moving at the speed of the internet. And now that the word is out there, that just leads me to believe that they're moving that money even faster. 24, 48 hours.
Wow. Obviously, that has encouraged you to fight back against this. And now this has become your job. So what does that look like? I mean, give us a little insight into what is your investigations? What do they look like?
So mainly our investigations, we have professional crypto tracers on our team. And so we're able to group certain losses together. We try to get information on who is out there, who is behind it. And not only that, but also information on money laundering. For instance, money mule bank accounts that we've been able to uncover, like right here in the US. We keep this stuff. Now, this is something that is coming out of Southeast Asia, and there is a lot of stuff that is just unknown, obviously. But our team, this organization started in Southeast Asia. And so we have folks over there who are, I think, pretty well connected with various police departments in various countries over there. They have, BBC has gotten information from us for a major documentary they did last year. So did Al Jazeera. And we are still getting requests even today for other documentaries that may be in the works and from reporters all around the world. So, and we've also been able to rescue a few hundred at least human trafficking victims. So we get intel that way. So it's not easy to do. There are ways to do it. But the biggest thing is getting money back for victims. It's all nice to do. None of it really matters if that victim who just lost $500,000, $1 million, $2 million still can't get their money back. And that's the most of all things is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, the human trafficking angle was a shocker to me. So basically have people that are modern slaves, essentially, that are being held against their will in these, I don't know what you call them, offices, prison camps, whatever. But how does that really technically work? So they're getting money? They're getting paid a certain amount of money and they have to do a certain amount of work? And are they going to ever get their freedom? I mean, how does this work?
So the human trafficking aspect is another major aspect of this. Obviously, what I'm seeing or what I'm hearing, and this is from our folks in Southeast Asia, the companies now run differently. And there are some that do pay their scammers, their dogs, if you will. And there are others that don't, or they say they're going to pay them, but they get fined for wearing down their computer. They get fined if they say the wrong thing because everything they do is monitored. So they end up walking away with nothing. It depends on the company. Now, the human trafficking aspect of it, once compounds will put fake job advertisements, on various job websites around the country, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, India, Africa. I've seen some of these things. They will put them on Facebook. And you have these folks who are, they may be educated, they may not be educated, but either way, they can't find a job. And so they are lured in by this job advertisement, sometimes willingly, but not always. Sometimes they totally have no idea. They go to Thailand, where this job interview is supposed to take place. And what happens is their passport is taken, their cell phone is taken, everything is taken, and they are forced into Cambodia, Myanmar, or wherever to work in these scam compounds. They cannot leave. They are guarded by men with guns. And if they don't steal enough money, they could be beaten, electric shocks. They may be forced to do squats or push-ups or run laps. And we have even heard talk of organ harvesting.
Awful. Gosh. So who comes to you, I guess, asking for help? I mean, what does that profile look like? Is it, are these businesses, are these individuals, governments?
The scammers love to go after people with titles: doctor, dentist, CEO, IT professional. Why? Because those people have money or have access to money. So they love people with professionals, which is why they love LinkedIn. However, what I'm seeing on Telegram is that a lot of them are having a very tough time on LinkedIn now, because I think people are starting to wise up on LinkedIn. But early on, when folks were getting scammed through LinkedIn, the folks that were joining us at GASO, at the Global Anti-Scam Organization, their average losses on LinkedIn were around $90,000.
Oh, wow.
Average. And many of them were a lot more than that.
So these are individuals that are coming to you for help.
Yes. A lot of them, sometimes they don't know who to call. And we tell them, you know, contact your local law enforcement, contact Secret Service, fill out the IC3 report. Some of them have done all that and got no response, or were told that there's nothing they can do, nothing law enforcement can do. And we cannot recover funds. We will try to support you emotionally as much as we can, but we can't recover funds. We can maybe trace your scam. It's not going to necessarily help you get your funds back. And you also have to be careful of recovery scams. There is a lot of folks out there who will say they can recover your funds. They cannot. They are scams. So this scam is really, it's a scourge on our world.
Let's take a quick break for this message from our sponsor.
Picture this. You are a key decision maker at your credit union. Your tellers are tired of the lengthy KYC process, fraud is a constant worry, and onboarding new members feels like a marathon. But what if there was a way to streamline it all? Enter the Sudo platform. Our reusable credential technology transforms the traditional KYC process, reduces fraud, strengthens communication security, and streamlines member onboarding. With Sudo platform, you can prevent fraud, save time, and create secure digital identities. And the best part? It's built right into your credit union's app. This is more than innovation. It's a commitment to providing your members a rewarding experience. We're live and ready to redefine how you do business. Don't wait. Give your credit union the upgrade it deserves. Identify any member in any channel at any time, all while improving convenience and reducing fraud. To learn more, contact us at sudoplatform.com. That's sudoplatform.com.
Maybe let's see if we could find a positive angle on this. I mean, what about some success stories that you've had in your investigations? Anything you can talk about in that area?
I think the biggest success stories that we can go on are, one, the human trafficking victims that our team has been able to help set free through the contacts that they have developed at various embassies, law enforcement. Sometimes they're able to make that happen. Not always, but sometimes they are. Another thing is the way we get information out. When we talk to podcasts like this one, media around the world, the John Oliver Show, last week with John Oliver, talked about the pig butchering scam just a few weeks ago. Well, we provided them, specifically I did, provided them with the documents that I have. So we're hoping that those efforts are working somewhere. Even every once in a while, we will get inside information of people who are being scammed, and we can contact them and keep them from being scammed. Although I will say the social engineering aspect of this, the love, the romance aspect, if you will, is so strong that some people, even though we've told them they're getting scammed, they continue to invest money in the fake website. But we know that we're getting words out on podcasts like this one. Somebody's going to hear it. and we've educated somebody else on what's going on. And hopefully they can tell somebody else. I do have a story, by the way. I was traveling last week to Dallas and went up to the counter to get my boarding pass. And I happened to tell a guy, I said, yeah, I'm going to be talking about the pig butchering scam. And he said, really? I said, yeah, what's that? I told him what it was. And he pulled out his phone and he said, I'm in this Telegram group. And what it was a fake investment group where everybody on there is telling you how wonderful this investment thing is. And it's all a scam. And I said, that's a scam, sir. He said, yeah. I said, I was kind of wondering. Yeah, that's a scam. Thank you so much. You never know.
Unreal. I guess back to some of these locations you were talking about are in Southeast Asia. Is law enforcement there cooperative, or is there some corruption going on too, where these organizations are maybe paying the police organizations or security forces on the side to keep this thing going? I mean, what have you found in your experience?
It's major corruption. In fact, the government, particularly in Cambodia, at the highest levels, make money on this. Al Jazeera did an expose in Cambodia called Forced to Scam. It was back in August. It's amazing. They gave very explicit detail on where the compounds are and what members of the government, all the way up to the prime minister, are behind these compounds. That's Cambodia. In Myanmar, where there is no standard government, the military overthrew the government. There is the border guard force, which actually protects the scam compounds. Same thing with Laos in the Golden Triangle. It is protected by, you know, whatever forces are there to protect it. So there's a lot of corruption that's behind this. And when there's billions of dollars involved.
So I guess for the foreseeable future, there's really no hope to shut any of these operations down.
I don't think so. It's not just the pig butchering scam. These compounds are doing all kinds of scams. I'm hearing words about other scams that are happening, not necessarily here in the U.S., but they're out there. And so the pig butchering scam is just one of the things that they're doing. And it's run by organized Chinese crime. So they're not just doing scams and compounds. There's also casinos where they're doing gambling, some of them legal, registered, some not. They're also doing drugs and money laundering. And so it's all of it. It's not just some small organization. They are huge. They are massive. They are well-funded and they are everywhere.
It's good that you're getting the word out there, because that's the first step, right? It's just awareness, education. But yeah, it's mainstream for sure. Again, me being on LinkedIn, I see it all the time. And I just don't understand why LinkedIn hasn't been able to do something more about it.
I believe they are. I believe that they're trying to do something more about it. But yes, it's the most effective weapon that I have, unfortunately, is to tell people this is what's going on. But unfortunately, they throw out such a wide net, they're going to get somebody.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else you want to cover in this before we wrap up? I mean, this is it's incredibly eye-opening, and it sounds like it's a much deeper story than it seems like on the surface.
Just need to tell your listeners to delete those wrong number texts. If you have any questions or concerns about what am I talking about, look it up. Pig butchering scam now is all over the internet right now. Every major government law enforcement organization has put out a warning against it. If you're a victim of it, you need to contact your local law enforcement and contact the Secret Service field office in your city or in your state, and also fill out the IC3 report. Most people do not report this because there's a lot of shame and embarrassment behind it. And believe me, I understand it. If you know somebody that's telling you that they met this person online, they're talking about cryptocurrency, tell them to cut it off now. Do whatever you got to do to tell them to cut it off. Go to our website, globalantiscam.org. There are victim stories. There are human trafficking stories. There's also stories about the compounds and what's going on. There's a lot of information there. And you can also chat with us 24/7. You can also chat with us. You can send us an email. You can let us know what's going on. We want to hear from you.
That's globalantiscam.com or .org. I'm sorry.
Globalantiscam.org.
.org. Okay. And that is the best way to reach you. Anything else you want to promote or talk about before we go?
Understand that this money that you're giving away is not just money that you've lost, but it's unfortunately going to organized crime. So we're trying to stop it, to save victims from losing their money, but also to keep it out of the hands of organized crime.
Yeah, boy, I don't even know where to go with this. This is one of those that's just tough to hear. I hate hearing this because, like you said, it's taking advantage of when people are their most vulnerable, which is just so sick. I'm happy there are people like you out there that are doing this, because We need to generate awareness and get people to understand what's going on, and hopefully they can take some action and just avoid being a victim in the first place.
That is our hope as well. We keep thinking that this thing has got to slow down at some point, but the statistics are saying that it's not slowing down. It's expanding. So I guess we have to work harder. You want to know what the scammers are doing? Find me on LinkedIn. I'll show you.
So again, that's globalantiscam.org. Troy, I enjoyed the interview. It's a little depressing, unfortunately, but it has to be talked about to get that word out there. So I really do appreciate what you're doing.
Rich, thank you for having me. And I want to thank all your listeners for listening. And please be safe out there.
Definitely. Thanks. Take care. Appreciate it, Troy.
Thank you, Rich.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Privacy Files. In our next episode, we'll be talking to a longtime cybersecurity professional who serves as a virtual chief information security officer at Blue Siren. With a cybersecurity background spanning the U.S. Navy, the U.S. Department of Commerce, Northrop Grumman, the FAA, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, and even the U.S. Supreme Court, this is an interview you won't want to miss. Until next time, don't forget, privacy is a human right.